Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
Alhamdulillah, adhafa ma hamidahu jami'u khalqihi kama yuhibbuhu wa yardahu. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. ربنا يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح. اللهم اجعلنا دعاة إليك وإلى رسولك. اللهم آت أنفسنا تقواها وزكها، أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. أما بعد، Discourse number 21, Business of Spirit of the Nafs. Bringing it down is a cure for arrogance. Baseness of the nafs is a cure for arrogance, which is known as egoism. This I, ana, ananiyat. Egoism cured by baseness. Maulana Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, egoism is a great evil. It's a great veil. It blocks a lot of things off. Egoism is a great veil. It cannot be cured except through baseness of the spirit. So it's a big parda to block you off many, many other anwar and light. And that egoism, that ana, ananiyat, cannot be cured except by baseness of the nafs and bringing it down. The real cause of arrogance, why a person becomes arrogant, for is really egoism. It is to consider oneself great, great. The egoist therefore wants to be respected and honored. It is cured by adopting its opposite, and that is to consider oneself somewhat base. The self, the nafs, will then come to a balance. And this is known as mujahada. It means to do something that is unpalatable to the self, which has become accustomed to do unreasonable things, so that it may balance itself. When it will do the unpalatable, it will gradually begin to do the reasonable. When the nafs will do the unpalatable, it will gradually begin to do the reasonable. Reality of mujahada. Someone asked Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Nanotwi Rahmatullah Alayh about the reality, the hakikat of mujahada. Sometimes one who is practicing mujahada is instructed to forsake even those things which Allah has made halal and lawful, even to leave all that. Maulana Notwi alayhi rahma gave the answer through an example. He said, take a sheet of paper, turn in one of its corners. Now straighten the sheet. Try as you may, it will not straighten. You can do it by turning it in the opposite direction. That's the only way. The soul, the root, or the nafs has turned in. It has turned in towards sin and unreasonable things. Turned in towards that. And will not correct itself. Try as you may. It can be corrected only if you turn it in the opposite direction. And that means you will have to give up the lawful and permitted things. The soul will return to normal then. This is called mujahada. Add water to your food. It is said of some Sufis that they instructed their disciples to add water to their food. Of course, no misunderstanding, this is not done in normal conditions. This is not done in normal conditions when we have to follow what the Quran says, because this is the law of the Quran. Allah says, Ya ayyuhar rusul, O you messengers, kulu min at-tayyibat, eat of the good things, wa amalu salihah, and do righteous deeds. That's the normal hukum. However, since the soul has taken a wrong turn, it's a wrong turn, it is necessary to resort to that type of mujahada to bring it to normal. This calls for giving up even that which is permitted sometimes. Baseness of the soul, of the nafs, is not the objective. That's not the objective. It is the same with the baseness of the soul. In normal conditions, just as with the food, same thing here. In normal conditions, it is not preferred to debase the soul. The soul has a self-respect and is a blessing of Allah. So it is not proper to debase the soul for no reason. But when the soul becomes arrogant and regards other people as inferior now, it becomes necessary to debase it to cure these maladies. The mashayikh suggest different ways to do that, and they differ according to the degree of the disease. Sometimes a man is asked to arrange the sandals of the worshippers outside the masjid at the time of every salah. Sometimes a sick man is instructed to stand up after the congregational salat and announce, "Brothers, I am afflicted with the disease of arrogance. Pray for me that Allah may cure me of it." When an arrogant man does that, how can he have the disease anymore? These are different treatments. But the baseness of the soul and just lowering the soul, that's not the objective. Dhikr is the objective. Dhikr. A disciple of Allama Shibli, Rahmatullah Alayhi, said to him that he engaged in zikr too much, but gained nothing out of it. Doing so much zikr, but he gained nothing out of it. A murid of Allama Shibli. Here you must know that dhikr is never worthless, provided, of course, that it is done with sincerity. People wait for the results of zikr, but they must not think of the results too much. Don't think of too much results. Our worthy predecessors did not look out for results. Rather, Haji Imdadullah and Maulana Thanwi alayhim ar-Rahma hold that dhikr by itself, they maintain and hold that dhikr by itself is the objective, and it is not proper to wait for the results after zikr. A man should not turn his mind to the conditions experienced. He must not pay attention to the conditions that grow in him, but he must let them take their course. Let the conditions take their own natural course. Zikr is so important that the zikr grows resistance power. As for the disciple, the murid, who said that he gained nothing from zikr, perhaps he lacked sincerity. Without sincerity, zikr is truly worthless. Besides, zikr grows in one the power of resistance. It grows the power of resistance to sin. In one who practices dhikr finds it easy to resist temptation to commit sin. Such a man does not succumb to temptation put into him by the shaitan or his own nafs. He grows strength to ward them off through this dhikr. Dhikr is an energy. Dr. Abdul Hay, Rahmatullah Alayhi, often said that dhikr of Allah is an energy to defend against the nafs and the devil. A great advantage of dhikr is that it makes it easy to confront one's nafs and the shaitan. It gives you that energy, that power and strength to confront your nafs and the shaitan. The mashayikh suggests dhikr after Fajr Salat. After Fajr Salat. While one can engage in zikr any time, but there are many reasons for doing it after Fajr or before it. The reason for zikr in the morning. One of the reasons, subhanallah, look at the hikmat for doing zikr in the morning, Fajr time. One of the reasons is that Allah has placed a peculiar ability to grow and develop in the morning. Flowers bloom in the morning, and the birds chirp, etc. So when anyone makes a dhikr in the morning, it will grow in him, it will grow in him a spiritual development. It's one benefit in the morning. Secondly, man wakes up in the morning and prepares for the tedious life ahead of him. He will have to counter his nafs and the shaitan at every step he takes. He will be inclined to misuse his eyes, ears, or tongue and to commit other sins. Motives to sin are all around, and to keep away from them, man will have to combat and to fight. Arrogance, takabbur, offsets the advantages of dhikr. If you have to engage in combat and in battle now to keep away from these sins, then you must grow some strength. This can be grown by making dhikr. This is why our worthy elders prescribe zikr before or after Fajr Salat, so that you may fight against the nafs and the shaitan. Perhaps the disciple of Allama Shibli alayhi rahma could not refrain from sin, although he made dhikr. If a man is arrogant, then he will not gain from zikr, no benefit from the zikr if he has arrogance in him. Rather, he will suffer. A principle of medicine. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi explained that though tonics strengthen the body, yet if it has a disease, they will not be effective. It is a principle of medicine that when there is illness, a tonic accentuates it. Thus, when one has film and takes tonic, it will grow more film. Instead of relief, it will cause more pain. Hence, if one is afflicted with the ailment of arrogance and his sheikh had prescribed zikr for him previously, then he will grow more haughty. He will also boast that he is a great worshipper. This is why such people are treated in other ways. A cure for arrogance. As we have seen, Allama Shibli, and because these are not just bayans, but these are like lessons, so you see things will be repeated. It's to remember, it's not just like a bayan, it's like lessons, so things are being repeated. As we have seen, Allama Shibli, Rahmatullah Alayhi, diagnosed that his disciple had the disease of arrogance. He instructed him to carry a basket of walnuts to a particular neighborhood. Says, take this basket of walnuts to a particular neighborhood. That's to cure your arrogance. And when you go there with this basket of walnuts to this neighborhood, make an announcement there. Get up and make an announcement that you will give a walnut each to everyone who strikes you with a blow. So everybody who hits you with a blow, make an announcement, they're going to get a walnut. The murid protested, Allahu Akbar, have I to do that? Disciple protested, and this is a big mistake, because you don't protest against your sheikh. It's like you're telling the specialist and the doctor, wow, why you have to give me that injection for? Disrespect. Allama Shibli alayhi rahma exclaimed, O foolish man, this is that name of Allah, Allahu Akbar. O foolish man, this is that name of Allah, which if a hardened kafir, disbeliever, calls out, he will become a Muslim and go to Jannah. But you call out this name, Allah, Allahu Akbar, you call out this name at such an occasion that you became a kafir. You became a kafir because of what you have said. For Allahu Akbar declares Allah's greatness while you use the words to declare your greatness. So you are saying Allahu Akbar, which declares Allah's greatness. But you know what? You use those words to declare your greatness. You meant to say that a great man like you is called upon to do such a mean task that I will do something like this. Allahu Akbar, have I to do that? In other words, that is too mean for me. Since you have used the expression to profess your greatness, it is likely that you have become a kafir. It is likely that you have become a kafir. Do not suggest a remedy. Nevertheless, the Maulana had said, sometimes the soul has to be debased to cure oneself of egoism. Back to the point. It has to be debased sometime to cure oneself of egoism. However, this is done according to every individual case. So no one should propose his own cure, for that might cause harm. Sometimes a small dose is enough. A noble person is cured by a few spoken words, and he reforms and gives up arrogance. Someone who learnt that arranging sandals of worshippers is a means to debase the soul began to do it. One must not do it. Rather, one must abide by the method prescribed by one's sheikh. He knows what method is suitable for different people. The arrogant does not recognize Allah's greatness, not at all. That's why he's arrogant. Maulana Tanwi's words in one of his sayings are, we have arrogance in us as long as we do not recognize in our hearts the greatness of Allah. We have arrogance in us as long as we do not recognize in our hearts the greatness of Allah. Once we realize His greatness and kibriya in our hearts, then our condition is described thus. Man considers himself great because his heart has not accepted Allah's greatness. Man considers himself great because his heart has not accepted Allah's greatness. If he had recognized Allah's majesty, then he would never have been arrogant. If he had known how great Allah is, then he would have not thought of himself as more than the meanest. The less he regards Allah as great, the more high he thinks of himself. And the more he recognizes Allah's greatness, the less arrogant he becomes. So, the cure for arrogance is that man should always hold the picture of Allah's might and majesty, His absolute power, His perfect knowledge, and His complete mercy, arrogance will be wiped out from him in this way. May Allah enable us to conduct ourselves on these sayings, ameen. To put off pious deeds, and this is so important, to put off pious deeds for the month of Ramadan is the attitude of people. Ah, I'll do that in Ramadan. I'll really get serious in Ramadan. You know what? Let Ramadan come round the corner. I'll get serious. I'll start then. Praise belongs to Allah. We have commented on the sayings of Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi on arrogance and egoism. We mentioned one of his sayings about Ramadan, and this is a very, very important one indeed. Postponing deeds to Ramadan. The Maulana said, Allah and His Messenger do not demand postponement. Rather, they encourage us to compete and overtake each other in piety. Quran says, Fastabiqul khayrat, fastabiqul khayrat. So vie with one another in khayrat, in virtuous deeds. Quran says, Yusari'una fil khayrat. They vie with one another in good deeds. Similarly, the words of the hadith, Tadha'ufu thawabin fi Ramadan. Tadha'uf, the increase, the multiplication of blessings in Ramadan. What does that mean? It means Tajilu amalin fi Ramadan. Hastening of amal, doing them quickly in Ramadan, not postponing them in Ramadan, doing them quickly. Tajilu amalin fi Ramadan. It does not mean Ta'khiru amalin ila Ramadan. So the words of the hadith, Tadha'ufu thawab, the tadha'uf, the multiplication of thawab in Ramadan, simply means Tajilu amal, doing amals quickly, fi Ramadan. And it does not mean Ta'khiru amal, delaying amal for Ramadan. What it means, author's translation, we should hasten, don't put off. Once you're in Ramadan, don't put off. Hasten to do good deeds in Ramadan, meaning the deeds that we are able and encouraged to do. We must hasten to do them in Ramadan and not put them off. Do them in Ramadan and not put them off to after Ramadan. And it doesn't mean that we delay some of our deeds and say we're going to do it in Ramadan because there is a greater reward in Ramadan. Also, if zakat is payable on the 28th of Shaban, then it betrays lack of understanding of the spirit of the law to put off payment beyond 28th of Shaban to Ramadan. How could one not see the plight of the needy? He waits for the first of Ramadan, and the poor man counts every moment that passes by. So what this basically means again is to hasten to do deeds in Ramadan and not put them off to after Ramadan, because of course there's greater reward in Ramadan. Hasten to do those deeds, as well as don't wait for Ramadan to really get done and get serious. Besides, the measure of reward increases in Ramadan, while the quality of reward improves when one vies to do good deeds. It's a very deep statement. Of course, quality is more preferred than quantity. We find example of that in the sayings of the ulama. They write that the hadith tells us to offer salat in the neighborhood masjid fetches a reward for 25 to 27 times. And in the Jamia masjid, a reward of 500 salah. But it is not allowed for the worshippers to leave their masjid in the neighborhood and go to the Jamia masjid to offer salah. That's not allowed in the Sharia. If they do that, they will commit a sin. The reason is that though the reward for salat in the Jamia masjid is 500 times more, is greater in quantity, yet the reward for salat in the neighborhood masjid is better in quality-wise. For it is wajib on him to attend this masjid and keep it occupied. He thus offers salat in the masjid and also discharges the wajib. But if he offers salat in the Jamia masjid, then he will not have discharged the wajib of attendance, for he is not responsible to attend and occupy it. The neighbors of the Jamia masjid are responsible for that. In reference to the foregoing discussion about delaying virtuous deeds until Ramadan, by giving support to the needy at the right time, by giving support to the needy at the right time, his prayer would have reached the throne, the arsh, and brought you much blessings. Even if we say that you receive lesser reward than Ramadan, then how can you expect to live till that month? If you argue that you would leave behind instructions for giving charity in Ramadan, then the reward for giving through a will is not the same as giving with one's own hands. Besides, no one can guarantee that the heirs would follow your instructions. And Fasir Isa, a common error. The Maulana has drawn our attention to an important principle. There are many people who, though payment of zakat is due, they wait for the month of Ramadan to begin when they would pay it. Similarly, they wait for the month for other forms of charity, because the hadith says that in Ramadan, reward for a nafil is equivalent to that of a fard in normal times. And every fard fetches 70 times the normal reward. Meaning of this hadith. The Maulana has explained this hadith in brief words. The hadith calls for ta'jilu amalin fi Ramadan and not ta'kiru amalin fi Ramadan. One should not think of the exceptional reward in the month of Ramadan. When you think about doing a pious thing, do it now, do it immediately before the month passes away. But it does not mean that if you are motivated towards piety before this month of Ramadan and you are motivated towards piety, that you should postpone doing it and becoming pious and getting on serious till then, because you would get more reward in Ramadan. No. Hence, put your pious thought in action immediately after you get the idea of doing it. Haste in good deeds. The Maulana cited the Quran to establish that pious deeds must be done quickly. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ. And vie with one another and hasten. Vie with one another, hastening to attain forgiveness from your Rabb and to the Jannat. Fastabiqul khayrat. Vie with one another in virtuous deeds. While the Quran commands us to hasten, we take time and we wait. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for Ramadan. We do the opposite of the dictates of the Quran and Sunnah by doing that. It's the opposite of the dictates of Quran and Sunnah. When is zakat wajib? People generally insist on paying zakat in Ramadan only, even if the year is over in an earlier month, say Rabiul Awal. Bear it in mind, the date zakat becomes due is the one when a man had become liable to pay it the first time. Every year, he is liable to pay it on that date. If a man became owner of the minimum property, he became owner of the minimum property on which a zakat is payable on the first of Rabiul Awal, then next year on this date, he will have to pay the zakat. And it will be fard on this date every new year. He cannot postpone it to Ramadan. People make two mistakes in this matter. They fix a wrong date. For instance, if they acquire the minimum wealth on the first of Rabiul Awal, they fix the date of paying zakat as the first of Ramadan. This upsets all calculation, which is an annual obligation while they pay after more than a year. An example, suppose your year ended on the first of Rabiul Awal, when you had 100,000 rupees calling for zakat payment of 2,500, but you wait till the first of Ramadan, by when you only had 50,000 rupees calling for 1,250 rupees. So first of all, a person had to pay 2,500, now he on 100,000, but he waited on the first of Ramadan, and he has now at that time 50,000 rupees calling for 1,250 as zakat dues. You short paid on rupees 50,000. although that is far than you. If you had calculated on time, at least there was hope that you would pay your dues later on. But in this case, you cannot even make amends. Hence, calculation should always be made on the due date. Retain the payment of zakat. Some people make a proper calculation, but they delay the payment, hoping to make it in Ramadan because they would get a 70 times reward. Maulana Tanwi alayhi rahmah has said, as we have seen, that is a very wrong practice. The right of the needy. The first thing is that the needy has a right over the zakat. You have no right on the sum payable as zakat. No right at all. The needy has the right. The Quran says, وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. And in their wealth was the hak and the right of the beggar and the deprived. That's their hak. In other words, it is a debt over you. So you must give it to its owner without delay. The needy starves while you enjoy. The second thing is that you look forward to the 70 times reward while the needy starves. So pay him his due on time so he may look after his needs. And there's a big difference in quantity and quality. The third thing is that the promised reward of 70-fold is quantity-wise accountable. But there also is a quality-wise reward. Sometimes, though the quantity is little, yet its kind and quality is much beneficial. A man may have 10 packets of something and another just one of another thing. And the value of the second man's possession exceeds that of the first, though he has a greater quantity. If we count, the first is superior. But if we look at quality, the second is better off. An example, the cat, the billi, the cat gives birth to many young, while the lioness to only one young. So she said to the lioness, "You are the queen of the forest. You are the queen of the forest, but you have only one child, but I deliver dozens of children and young each year." The lioness said, "Dear aunt, your children are cat, but do I have one child? He is a lion. He is a lion." Quantity-wise, the cat has more young. But quality-wise, the one cub is stronger and more than enough for the several kitten. In the same way, though zakat may fetch 70 times reward in Ramadan, yet satisfying the need of someone at the right time will fetch a better kind and quality of reward. Though numerically it may be lesser than the former. The Maulana then explained it with another example. You get 25 times reward in the neighborhood masjid for salat, 500 in the Jami masjid. But the Sharia commands us to offer salat in the neighborhood masjid because we are bound to create a number of worshippers in it. Now, if all the people of the locality go to the Jami masjid to earn 500 times reward and the masjid in the neighborhood has no worshipper, then they will be committing sin. It is fard on them that they should enliven the neighborhood masjid. Though numerically the reward is greater in Jami masjid, quality-wise it is better in the local masjid. Hence, do not neglect the masnoon worship in looking for numerical excess. Sheikh-ul-Hind's brief words. Sheikh-ul-Hind, the great Sheikh of India, Sheikh Mahmud-ul-Hassan, Rahmatul Alay, used to offer the two rakats of Nafil Salat after witr in a sitting posture. He used to offer the two rakats of optional Salat after the witr in a sitting posture. Although all the Hanafi jurists hold that it is superior to offer them standing like any other. The reward by offering in a sitting posture is half that of the standing posture. And the Hanafi jurists maintain that. However, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to offer them while sitting down. The Hanafi jurists argue that he did that to point out that it is allowed to offer them in a sitting posture. That's why he did it, to show jawaz, to point out that it is allowed to offer them in a sitting posture. But a full reward is received only if they are offered in a standing posture. Someone pointed out to Sheikh ul Hind that the books recommend that this salat should be offered in a standing posture. But Sheikh ul Hind said, you know what you say is true, you know, but I find my heart more inclined to offer it as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. Though the reward may be less, but I still want to do it how he did it, even though the reward may be less. The quality of the salat offered in the manner of the Nabi is quite high. Hence, many people do not go by numbers. Rather, they perform the deed when it is the demand of the moment. Will you survive till Ramadan? Further, how do you know that you will live till Ramadan? If you say that you will leave behind instructions to be paid by your heirs, how do you know that they will honor your will? So do not postpone till Ramadan what you should do now. It is religious to perform deed on time. Dr. Abdul Hay Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that it is religion to perform deeds at the right time. That is religion, that's deen. And according to the demands of the time. For instance, your father is ill and there is no one else to look after him. He cannot be left alone even for a few minutes. There is then another demand on you. It is time for salat too, and you should go to masjid for jamaat. But if your father is very ill and asks you to pray at home, then you must offer salat at home, for that is the demand of the time. You leave now 27-fold reward for that. It is not religious to do what one pleases. Maulana Masihullah Khan, Rahmatullah Alayh, said often, to do what one pleases is not religion. A very important statement to remember for the rest of our lives. Maulana Masihullah Khan, one of the great caliphs of Maulana Thanwi, Rahmatullah Alayh, used to say often, to do what one pleases is not deen, not religion. For instance, you are interested in occupying the first row. You're fighting for the first row, interested for the first row. But your father is dying at home. And you leave him dying and you go to masjid early to get first row. And some of us are really like that. This is not deen. Rather, it is the demand of the time that you do not go. Do not go for the first row, but serve your father. So to conduct yourself on the demand of time, that is deen. Is piety limited to Ramadan? Very important point. Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi mentioned a principle concerning zakat. This principle applies to other deeds as well. What we do is perform all pious deeds during Ramadan, holding them in abeyance for it. When Ramadan is over, we also put an end to those deeds. We stop reciting Quran and every other pious deed, and we do not care to prevent sinful activities. We feel ashamed to misuse the eyes and other organs in Ramadan. But thereafter, we get a free license to indulge in sin. We no longer take care to avoid sin and to practice piety. Ramadan is a course of training. We may say that Allah has made Ramadan a training course. Once you go through the course and practice different forms of ibadat, it is your duty to maintain the spirit that Allah has created in you through the Ramadan. Protect your heart from the stain of sin. Take a white piece of cloth that is just washed. If it gets a small stain mark on it, that would be very prominent on it. In the same way, your heart is washed clean in Ramadan from all sins. Now try to keep it free from sin so that you get no stain of sin on it and no stain of disobedience on it. Allah had enabled you to perform certain forms of worship in Ramadan after the month of Ramadan, though you may not be able to maintain them to the same extent, but you must retain some of it. You did recite Quran in Ramadan, but why should you now not open it all through the year? Resolve that you will not let any day go by. Resolve today that you will not let any day go by without reciting the Quran. Otherwise, you will deprive yourself of a blessing. Continue to keep up some worship. You had been regular at Jamaat, Salat in Jamaat in Ramadan, But let it not be that you do not even go towards the masjid after Ramadan. Rather, keep up the habit. The fard and the wajib are not very difficult for us to maintain. In fact, Allah has prescribed the obligations and prohibited the sins, and at the same time given us ability to obey these commands. He has not made anything fard that is beyond our capacity. Allah has given man sufficient ability to discharge his duties and refrain from what is disallowed. Covenant with Allah in the morning as we come to a close. Dr. Abdul Hay, Rahmatullah Alayhi, said, when you get up in the morning and you offer the Fajr Salat, make a covenant with Allah in the morning. Say, Inna Salati wa Nusuki wa Mahyaya wa Mamati Lillahi Rabbil Alameen. My prayer, my salat, my rites of worship, my sacrifice, my worship, my life, and my death are all for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. In other words, everything that I do, from eating and drinking, meeting wife and children, earning a livelihood, sleeping and awakening, are all for you, O Allah. I eat, O Allah, because you have given my soul a right over me. I sleep because you have placed over me a right of the soul. I speak to my wife and children because you have given them a right over me. I earn because you have made it a fard upon me. When you make this intention, all you do will be counted as worship. The advantage, after that covenant you make with Allah and say after Fajr Salat, Inna Salati, indeed my Salat, wa Nusuki, and my rites of worship and different types of worship and all my ibadats and sacrifice, wa Mahyai, my living, wa Mamati, and dying are for Allah, Lillah Rabbil Alameen. When you do that, the advantage. After that, make a dua. Ya Allah, I cannot be true to this covenant without your help and enablement. So you grant me ability to abide by the covenant. Then go out into the world and begin your daily life. Its benefits are that when you are tempted to do a wrong, you will remember this covenant and you will fear violating it. Review when sleeping. Muhasabatun nafs. When you go to sleep at night, take stock of your activities during the day and ask yourself if you abided by the covenant during the day or not. If you were true to the covenant, then thank Allah and say Alhamdulillah. But if you have been derelict anywhere, then seek Allah's forgiveness and say, Ya Allah, I did conclude a covenant with you, but I faltered, and seek pardon in these words. Allahumma inni astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. O Allah, I beg your forgiveness and turn towards you with repentance. Allahumma inni astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Again, say, O Allah, I do istighfar. I beg your forgiveness and turn towards you in repentance. Astaghfirullah al-Aliyy al-Azim. I ask Allah for forgiveness, who is the High and the Great One. Repeat it a few times in the night. Repeat it a few times and then go to sleep. Do it every morning and evening. Gradually you will give up every sin. May Allah cause all of us to abide by these teachings. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta. نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care. This is who I am, this is me. Nothing, everything, can't you see?